Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Fan for Racing NASCAR Weekend Preview. This is Thursday night, July the 13th, and we've got a lot of racing to talk about tonight. There are actually only three races this weekend, but we're actually going to talk about at least four races and give updates on two other series. And joining me for our NASCAR Weekend Preview for tonight's show is our co-host, Jay Huseman. Welcome to the show, Jay.
Thanks, Sharon. How are we doing tonight?
We're doing pretty good. I am looking forward to talking about the racing at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend. But we're going to include also tonight a little bit of a pre-preview, if you will, of the Camping World Truck Series racing at Eldora on Wednesday. So that's going to be pretty cool because it's one of the big events of the year for the Camping World Truck Series when they go to Eldora and race on dirt. And we'll talk about that during our first half hour, along with giving some updates on the ARCA Racing Series and the Can-Am West. Both of those series are not racing this weekend, but you will give you all the updates so that you know when they're racing calendars for those events. But pretty exciting to see the Camping World Truck Series going to Eldora this weekend, or this week.
Yeah, I know that's for fans, especially ones of the Truck Series, that's one that they look forward to all year. You know, there's been a lot of talk about wanting NASCAR to expand that. You know, I don't know if that's such a good idea or not, being that it is so unique, but it's definitely one to look forward to.
I think it depends on who you talk to. Earlier this week, NASCAR had a teleconference with four of the Camping World Truck Series drivers, and two of the drivers said that they'd be happy if there were no other dirt tracks on the schedule. The other two drivers who have dirt track backgrounds both said they would welcome another dirt track on the schedule. So it depends on who you talk to on whether or not that sounds like a good idea. But let me move on with our schedule here tonight. We've got during our 9 o'clock half hour, we will talk about the Can-Am East. And they are racing at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. This is a big weekend for them because they're there the same weekend as the Xfinity Series and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. So this is great exposure for this series. And there's a lot going on in that series that we'll talk about during that 9 o'clock half hour as we preview the United Site Services 70 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway this weekend. After that, we'll get into the Xfinity Series racing at New Hampshire this weekend. Their event is the Overton's 200, and they'll be racing on Saturday. And then during our 9:30 half hour, we'll get into the Monster Energy NASCAR 301 on Sunday, July the 16th. And then, if time allows, I'm hoping we'll be able to get into at least a couple of the hot topics leading into this big weekend of racing for NASCAR.
Well, we should have plenty of topics to cover there, huh?
Yes, I do believe. But let's go ahead and get started with the Camping World Truck Series. As we mentioned, it's kind of an exciting week for them. They're racing on dirt at Eldora Speedway, the track that is owned by Tony Stewart. And this makes it a really big event, not just for the Camping World Truck Series, but a lot of the drivers go out to Eldora to watch this event. It's taking place this Wednesday, July the 19th. The name of the race is the Eldora Dirt Derby. It will start Wednesday, July 19th, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, Fox Business Network will carry the race. The pre-race coverage starts at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, you want to make sure that you're looking for the Fox Business station, because that's where you're going to find this race. It'll also be on MRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. Now, they are racing, it looks like 150 laps. The laps, stage one is a 40 lap. Actually, they're racing 150 laps for a total distance of 75 miles. Stage one will end on lap 40, but stage two, is going to end on lap 90. So usually those are equal laps. In this case, it's not. So 40 laps in the first stage, 50 laps in the second stage, and then the final race ends, the final stage ends on lap 150, the last lap of the race. There's a lot going on in this Camping World Truck Series, Jay, and I mentioned some of the drivers that were on that teleconference earlier this week. The two drivers that would love to see another dirt track on the schedule are Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe. Is that any surprise to you?
Not at all. Like you said, they both come from the dirt background. Christopher Bell has won it before. So, yeah, those are two that I certainly would imagine would like to see more dirt races.
Absolutely. Christopher Bell is certainly on a good path this week or this year toward contending for a championship in this Camping World Truck Series. He's a Kyle Busch Motorsports driver, and he's the only driver in the Camping World Truck Series with three victories this season. He won last week in the Buckle Up In Your Truck 225 at Kentucky, but he was involved in a minor incident early on in that race around lap 27, but he was able to and get back out there and beat Brandon Jones for that victory. Now, with three victories this season, Bell, as I mentioned earlier, has more wins than any of the other drivers in the series, but it's also more this season than his two previous seasons combined. Well, only through 10 races in the Camping World Truck Series. He won once in 2016 at Gateway Motorsports Park, and he also won, as you mentioned earlier, at Eldora Speedway in 2015. So right now he's leading the way in the series. He's only 28 points behind the series points leader, who is Johnny Sauter, who is currently leading the point standings. But Bell is leading the playoff points as far as the series playoff points this season, with 19 playoff points toward his championship endeavor here. Through 10 races this season, he has 7 top 5s, 9 top 10s, and he's led 492 laps, the most among all of the active drivers in the series. In some senses, Bell's going to be looking for revenge this weekend in the Camping World Truck Series on Wednesday night. He won his first race at Eldora Speedway in 2015 and finished second there last weekend season to the Cup Series driver, Kyle Larson. So Bell wants to be back in victory lane at Eldora, and I expect him to be racing really hard for that victory this weekend.
And yeah, he'll certainly be one to contend with, as you mentioned, winning it and finishing second. You know, he'll be one of those top guys. Another one that's
absolutely
coming
now,
off.
Excuse me, just a minute. I said this weekend, but I just want to clarify, this race is on Wednesday of next week. So again, it's a Wednesday night race next week.
I'm talking about best finishes this past weekend. GMS Racing driver and Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender Justin Haley notched a career best Camping World Truck Series finish with a third at Kentucky Speedway. And that's Haley's fifth consecutive top 10 now or better in the Camping World Truck Series this year. And while he was happy with his career best, even if it kept him up late, he made a joke about it. Said it was past my bedtime, but a good night tonight. and he's been struggling on the mile and a half, but I'm pretty new to them, and we had a good strategy tonight. So we snugged the truck up pretty good on restarts, and it paid off. So as a team, they're really coming together. He's had one top five now, six top tens, and led seven laps so far this season. Currently six in the Sunoco Rookie of the Year point standings and 12th overall in the Camping World Truck Series point standings for the championship. So I think that I look to see great things coming out of him in the second half as he continues to build on that and get even better with his team.
Absolutely. Now, another driver I think fans should keep their eyes on this weekend is Noah Gregson. He's starting to come into his own here in the Camping World Truck Series. He's a Sunoco Rookie of the Year contender, again, with Kyle Busch Motorsports. And he collected his first stage win this season when he won stage two at Kentucky Speedway. That was a good momentum builder for Noah Gregson and his team. It gives him his first playoff point, and he's right on the playoff bubble this season. He's ninth in the series point standings, and there's only eight drivers that are going to go on to the playoffs. So he's made big strides this year in the Rookie of the Year standings. Right now he's third behind Chase Briscoe and Grant Enfinger, and those two drivers are both tied at 125 points. So in some senses, you might say he's second behind Chase Briscoe and Grant Enfinger, who are sharing the top spot right now in that Sunoco Rookie of the Year standings. After starting this season with two finishes outside the top 25 in the first four races, Noah Gregson has picked up his pace and has put together six consecutive top 10s or better finishes. He landed his second top five finish this season at Kentucky Speedway by leading the most laps of any race this season. He led 32 laps out of Kentucky last weekend. So I see things moving in the right direction for Noah Gregson, and it's going to be fun to see what he's able to do out there on the dirt at Eldora Speedway on Wednesday.
No, without a doubt, he's another one, like you said, is just building and getting better and better. And out of the couple we've talked about already, with the exception of Christopher Bell, we're talking about rookies. And that rookie battle is shaping up to be one for the ages. As we said, Haley was sixth, and he's, you know, finishing third in how many races in the top ten. But Brad Keselowski Racing driver Chase Briscoe that you mentioned, and Thor Sport driver Grant Enfinger, the two that are tied have been battling back and forth for that Rookie of the Year lead all season, especially here lately. Over the past four races, that lead has been volleyed between the two Camping World Truck Series rookies. If we look back, Texas, though, WinStarOnlineGaming.com 400 at Texas, Enfinger led 88-84 over Briscoe. Then after the driving for the Lineman 200 at Gateway Motorsports Park, Briscoe took it, tied it up, and they were tied at 104-104. And then the M&M's 200 at Iowa, Enfinger led 122-117. And then now after the buckle up in your truck 225 last weekend at Kentucky Speedway, they're back to being tied at 125 each. And that's just the top two. Now this weekend with them heading into Eldora, they'll both be making their series debut at the dirt track. But I think the advantage might go to Briscoe with the dirt background.
I think you're right. I was just going to say that. Briscoe has the dirt background, so I would definitely give him the edge. But I wouldn't count Enfinger out either. Enfinger is a smart driver, and he picks up on things pretty quick. And I would imagine he's doing some things to prepare for racing out there on dirt at Eldora Speedway this weekend. So, but this is a fun battle to watch. It's the best Rookie of the Year battle, I think, in the series, in the top three right now, between Briscoe and Enfinger. Both of them are ARCA Racing Series champions that are now racing in that Camping World Truck Series, and it's been fun to watch them battle for this Rookie of the Year honor throughout this season so far. And this, it's not over yet. We've got a lot more to see between these two.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Again, and we could have a couple more of those guys sneak up there, too. Like we talked about,
Absolutely. You still got Haley
and those others.
Exactly. And Noah Gregson is third or second, depending on how you look at that, in those rookie standings. And he's starting to get stronger. Eldora is going to be a little bit of a wild card for some of these drivers. So it'll be interesting to see if Noah Gregson can work Eldora to his benefit, or if it's going to be one of those tracks that sets them back a little bit. But we'll keep an eye on it, because there's several drivers that are on the bubble, the Truck Series playoff bubble. And I'll tell you, we're talking playoff bubble for all three series right now, because this is the time of the year that we're counting down to the last race of the regular season. And remember, it's the driver who leads the series point standings at the end of those the regular series season that will get an extra 15 playoff points to start the playoffs. So this is a kind of a big deal. But a big deal for a lot of these drivers is even getting into the playoffs, because in the Camping World Truck Series, there's only 8 drivers that will be competing for that championship title. So the drivers right now that are on the outside looking in include Ryan Truex, Noah Gregson, Austin Cindric, Tim Haley, and Cody Coughlin. Those drivers are ranked 9th through 13th. And Jay and I will give a little bit of information about each of those drivers as they're on the playoff bubble here to give you an idea of a picture of exactly where they are on that playoff bubble. For instance, Ryan Truex, Jay, is just 1 point behind 8th place. That's how close he is to being in the playoffs. He's behind 8th place rookie Grant Enfinger. Truex has had a strong season so far with 2 top 5s and 6 top 10s, and he's only finished outside the top 25 just once. And surprisingly, that was at Daytona. Truex has had some bad luck lately, and at Kentucky he was involved in a wreck it ended up with his number 16 truck overheating and his number 16 truck overheated at Iowa Speedway as well. So these last 2 races have not been good for Ryan Truex, but he is only 1 point outside that top 8. So you got to think that Ryan Truex is looking to make the most of what he can do on dirt at Eldora Speedway this weekend.
And that same goes for, as you mentioned, Noah Gregson. He's only 17 points back in 10th, but has put together 6 consecutive top 10s, and he's led 16 laps or more in his last 2 races and appears to be hitting his stride, driving the number 18 Kyle Busch Motorsports Toyota Tundra. So he's another one that's real close with, you know, there's only a few positions difference there between them.
Mm-hmm. Now, a win would put both of those guys in, even if they're still ranked 9th or 10th as far as the series point standings, because this is the same as it is in the other series, a win and you're in. These other drivers are looking for a win as well. Austin Cindric, he's 62 points away from being in the top 8. He's been improving in the Truck Series, but he finished 27th at Daytona. And he hasn't finished outside the top 25 since then. He's racing with Brad Keselowski Racing this season, recently he's had back-to-back top 10 finishes, including his season-best finish of 4th at Kentucky Speedway. So this is another driver that seems to be turning the ship around and starting to move his team in the right direction. And he's helping Eldora is going to help him, not hurt him, this weekend.
Yeah, and we're getting to the point where 12th place Justin Haley, 91 points out, is driven strong for GMS Racing as of late. Obviously, that's a great team to be with, as they got leader Johnny Sauter on the team as well. But the Sunoco Rookie of the Year's contender has five consecutive top tens, including, as I mentioned, his third best at Kentucky. Owns an average finish of 11.1 for the season. And again, I think he's just going to keep getting better and better.
Right. And just to clarify, it wasn't his third best finish. It was a career best finish up 30 this weekend. So, yeah, he'll definitely be looking to make that better. Cody Coughlin is the furthest out of the five that we're talking about here tonight. He's 106 out of eighth place. He's had a consistent rookie season this year, driving for Thor Sport Racing in the number 13 Toyota. But Coughlin's finished top 20 or better in six consecutive races. He owns a season-best finish of 11th at Daytona. So Cody's been kind of falling down a little bit since Daytona. I know he's looking to get that ship turned around at some point. Whether or not he can do that at El Toro, I'm not sure, but it's going to be worth watching on Wednesday night for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild, wild race. And like you said, it's kind of that wild card. You know, their season could turn or possibly already end here. Because these guys, to make up those points, they need to be finishing top five or they're going to get in that absolute winner go home situation.
Yes, indeed. Exactly. It's win or go home is exactly right. And even those drivers that are outside the top, you know, you could have an unexpected driver come up there and take a victory and move all these guys down a notch. So you never know what's going to happen in that Camping World Truck Series. And Eldora, it's kind of like the super speedway racing of the other series. Eldora is certainly the wild card, as we've been mentioning, for a lot of these drivers, especially those that don't have experience on dirt. Two of them that we know have experience, Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe, are, you know, they're biting at the bit because they know this is a big opportunity, especially for Chase Briscoe, who doesn't have a win yet. He would love to get a win at Eldora and put himself in to those, you know, secure his spot in the playoffs for the Camping World Truck Series.
Well, and Christopher Bell's not taking any chances. I heard he's going to compete in the 34th annual Kings Royal Sprint Car Race at Eldora over the weekend just to get in preparation mode for Wednesday's Camping World Truck Series race at Tony Stewart's own track there.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. He talked a little bit about that on the teleconference this week. It's a race that he really enjoys racing. He said that there's a lot of difference between the cars, especially as it relates to the weight. It's something that he enjoys doing because it's racing on dirt, and it's just a prelude, if you would, to the Eldora race that gets him excited about racing as an Eldora. But look for what Christopher Bell does in this King Royal Sprint Car race, because he's been known to win that event. And if he wins, that's a lot of momentum he takes into Wednesday night's race at Eldora.
That's right, and he's been out running sprint cars a couple times here recently. And another note I got, I know we don't have the official entry list as of yet from NASCAR, but I saw an announcement in the last couple of days, Ken Schrader is going to be running a truck.
Yeah.
As well as
yeah.
late model
yeah.
driver Bob Pierce and Bobby Pierce. And if you look back at history, he's finished in the top three every race he's been there. He's one that's really going to be a contender.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to see these guys. You're going to see a lot of drivers that don't normally race, including maybe even a couple of the Cup drivers that don't normally race. In the Camping World Truck Series show up at Eldora. And a lot of those drivers may not race. What they might do is go and watch that event, even if they're not behind the wheel. So it's going to be fun for a lot of folks watching that event. Now, I'm just looking here to see if I have official entry list yet for the Camping World Truck Series, because sometimes they will put a preliminary list out. Nope, there's no preliminary list out just yet. Keep your eye on this race. Now, if anything new comes up, Sal and I will talk about it on Monday night. But consider this the preview for that Wednesday night event. Now, I also want to make sure I point out, keep your eye at danforracing.com, because I will put a current preview of the Camping World Truck Series racing at Eldora up on Wednesday. So you can look for that coming out earlier than usual, because the race is earlier than usual next week for the Camping World Truck Series. And again, just a reminder, that's going to be on Fox Business Network on Wednesday night, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. It's an unusual station, an unusual day, and if I'm repeating that, I'd rather repeat it 20 times here than to have anybody miss the race because they didn't know it was on Wednesday night or that it was on Fox Business Network.
I think that's an excellent thing, excellent idea, because you certainly don't want to miss this. This is one, that track, if you got a bucket list, that track and that event, the Camping World Truck Series on that track, are two that are on a very, very top of my bucket list, I'll tell you that.
Absolutely. One of these days I'm going to get out there and get all dusty at the track while I'm watching these guys race. Now, I just want to give an update here on the ARCA Racing Series. We had Dalton Sargent. If you haven't listened to the podcast yet, we did have the race winner at Iowa Speedway in the ARCA Racing Series, Sargent, on our Monday night show. And you can still listen to that podcast over at fanforracing.com. If you haven't heard it yet, you'll want to head over there and listen to that. Dalton Sargent gave us a great interview, and he's currently second in the series point standings behind Austin Terrell. And what was so cool about that Iowa race is it was the number one and the number two seeded drivers that were battling for that victory. And in this case, Dalton Sargent won the battle. But Austin Terrio still leads the series point standings. So that's been fun to watch. This week they're off. Next weekend, though, they'll be racing the Sioux Chief PowerPex 200 at Lucas Oil Raceway in Indianapolis, July 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now, they'll have live timing and scoring over on arcaracing.com. And you can find out what's happening during that event. But what's cool about this race is that it's also going to be televised on Fox Sports 1. So fans will definitely want to mark their calendars for this one. You'll be able to see it on TV this week. Now, MAP TV just came up on my cable TV channel guide, but you do have to pay extra for it. I was so excited when I saw MAP TV pop up on my schedule there, but disappointed when I found out I had to pay extra to get it.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, I was a little hurt. You hurt my feelings a little bit, Sharon, when you didn't tell Dalton Sargent that I helped. Because if you remember last week, you gave me opportunity to pick the driver, and I said I've been picking him all year, and he hasn't won. The time he won, I didn't pick him. So that's I didn't pick him last week, and he won.
I think I was the one who picked him, didn't I?
You did. You did. Yes.
Yeah. So I must have brought him some good luck there. I thought about bringing that up, but then I didn't want to spook it, so I just said I'll leave that alone. But I was real happy that Dalton Sargent came home with that victory, and I think we have more to see from him this season as well. So, again, that's the ARCA Racing Series, and we're just about to run out of time. I also want to tell you my favorite race of the season is coming up, where the East meets the West, and that race is going to be July 28th. Now, the East has been on a three-race run here. They've run three consecutive weeks, but Their next race after this weekend is that July 28th race at Iowa Speedway, the Casey's General Store 150. Again, Race Central will have everything available at the Home Tracks website for NASCAR, and they do a great job of keeping fans in the loop of what's happening at the track. And then there's usually, and I'm sure this is not going to be an exception, but keep your eyes out, and we'll keep you informed as we get the information. This race will be also aired on a delayed broadcast on NBC Sports Network. And again, this is one of those do not miss events, because this is for bragging rights between the East and the West, and always a big, big event in the K&N Pro Series. So definitely looking forward to that one.
Yeah, another one, like you said, you don't want to miss that. I mean, that's always a huge, huge event for those guys to have them both there and competing against each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be interesting because Todd Gilliland has been leading the series point standings in the K&N West. Harrison Burton has been leading the series point standings in the K&N East, where Todd Gilliland is second in those series point standings. So that alone, Todd Gilliland's going to have to declare which side of the K&N Pro Series he wants to compete for points. And I think he's probably going to choose the West, where he is the current points leader. But this weekend, that K&N Pro Series East is racing alongside the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in the United Site Services 70. And they are racing, let me get the details here. I've got to switch my screen, so give me a second. They are racing on Saturday, July the 15th at 6:45 p.m. Eastern Time. And the delayed broadcast for this race will be Thursday, July 20th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So set your DVRs for that one. That will be on NBC Sports Network. This is a 1.58-mile progressively banked asphalt oval. And last year's winner was Corey LaJoie. The pole sitter was Kyle Benjamin. So, again, it's going to be a fun race to watch with this battle between Harrison Burton and Todd Gilliland.
Well, and Harrison Burton's continued his breakout sophomore season last week at Thompson, winning for the fourth time in the last six races to open up the 22-point lead over Todd Gilliland, as you mentioned, as he chases his first career series title. And they're the only two drivers to finish in the top 10 in all eight races so far this season.
Yeah, they are. And what's kind of cool, too, is that Harrison's dad has had a lot of success at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. He's won there four times in the Cup Series. And in 2000, he was the only driver to ever lead every single lap of the race to win it. So I think if he's looking for any good advice, it might come from his dad.
I hadn't thought about that. I remember that race where Jeff led every lap.
So, yeah, I'm pretty excited to see him going back there. Harrison has wins, just to kind of refresh everybody's mind. He won at Bristol. He's won at South Boston. He won at Memphis, and as Jay mentioned earlier, he won last weekend at Thompson Speedway. So pretty exciting race for Harrison Burton this weekend. Another driver, though, that fans are going to keep their eye on this weekend is one of the local favorites. Andy Zeus is going to be real busy this weekend. He's going to start the weekend off with racing the Whelen Modified All-Star Shootout. It's a 35-lap non-points race on Friday, and Andy Zeus will be a part of that event. He has 22 career modified wins, so he just could end up being a winner in that event. But he's also going to be racing in his debut in the K&N East. He's a two-time champion in the NASCAR's former Whelen Southern Modified Tour. But in addition to racing his debut in the Can-Am Pro Series East, he's also going to be racing earlier in the day, the same day on Saturday, in NASCAR's Wheel and Modified event at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. He grew up in nearby Hempstead, New Hampshire. So he's going to have a lot of fans at the track cheering him on, even though he's not a regular as far as the Can-Am Pro Series or a regular in NASCAR. He has raced occasionally in NASCAR's Top 3. We've seen him race there, but he's going to have a crowd there cheering him on this weekend.
And that's such a huge, huge weekend for New Hampshire. I know next they're going to lose their second date, so they're making this weekend, you know, a big one. They got the two, as you mentioned, Wheel and Modified races, the Can-Am, and then the Xfinity and the Cup Series all there. So they're making it a huge event for this one weekend.
They really are. And now you follow a lot of the Wheel and Modified from Magnolia Speedway. Talk a little bit about how big that is.
But the wheeling, because we're dirt, the wheel, it isn't Wheeling Series. Ours are Neesmith sponsored.
I'm sorry?
The modifieds we run here aren't Wheeling, the Wheeling NASCAR Wheeling modifieds. They're the it's a Neesmith sponsored series.
Oh, I see. Well, I was thinking there was the NASCAR modifieds. Okay. Well, then we'll just skip over that.
I was going to move on to, again, from being from the Mississippi, Chase Purdy as a regular in the Can-Am, driving the number 17 Bama Buggies Textron off-road Toyota. He's currently third in the standings with two top fives and four top tens through the eight races. He's a career high second in the first of the 200 laps at South Boston, and he matched that effort again 2 weeks ago at Berlin, Michigan, and he won his third consecutive pole at Connecticut's Thompson Speedway Motorsports Park, giving him five straight starts on the top or on the front row entering New Hampshire's race. So look for him to maybe get the pole. And he's the highest ranking rookie in the Can-Am Pro Series after the eight races, but he's never competed at New Hampshire.
Okay, so yeah, it'll be fun to see what he does. He'll be in that number 17 car this weekend. Now, another thing that I want you to kind of keep in mind as you're watching these guys race this weekend, a number of drivers who have gone on to NASCAR's National Series got their jump start of their careers at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Now, I don't know, I didn't mention this earlier, but several of these guys have won at New Hampshire and then went on to win the series championship in the Can-Am Pro Series. Some of those drivers include, in 1991, Ricky Craven. In 2007, Joey Logano did that. He won at New Hampshire and then went on to win the series championship. Ryan Truex did that in 2010. And most recently, William Byron, currently second in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He has two wins in that series this season. He also won at New Hampshire in 2015 before he won the championship that same year. And looking at that, some other drivers who really launched their careers with those wins, we mentioned Ricky Craven in 1991. He's actually won three times at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Daytona 500 winners Joey Logano and Derek Cope also won Can-Am Pro Series East races at New Hampshire. Mike McLaughlin won four times in the Can-Am Pro Series at Loudoun. And Cup Series driver Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson, Matt DiBenedetto, and Corey LaJoie all have Can-Am Pro Series wins at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is New Hampshire is one of the tracks that has been with the Can-Am Pro Series from the beginning. they helped launch the K&N Pro Series from the beginning. And they've had 70 races there already. This will be their 71st event for this series. So they're really a significant track. It's the biggest track that they race on. Nine of 10 drivers named to the top 10 drivers of the first 25 years in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series in 2011 have all won races there. So it's really amazing how significant this track is, not just, as you mentioned, with them paring it down to just one race at this track. They're really building up how significant this track also is to the NASCAR K&N Pro Series East. And the wheel and modified, for that matter.
That's right. And, I was going to say, there's a couple there, too, that when you talk about the modifieds, multi-series champion, or I'm sorry, four-time series champion Andy Santerre and a multi-time series champion of Mike Stefanik, Jamie Obby, Brad Layton, and Mike Olson. If you follow the modifieds at all, you know those names. Some of them have appeared occasionally at NASCAR's upper levels, but I mean, they're legends when it mm-hmm. comes to the modifieds.
So it's going to be fun to see them racing this weekend. They'll be doing double duty, I'm sure. Now, too, we're going to say there's going to be an NFL presence this weekend in this race, because all-pro linebacker Sean Merriman, he owns Patriot Motorsports Group. He has three entries that will be in the field this weekend for the K&N Pro Series. Jesse Iwuji, who drives for Merriam in the NASCAR K&N Pro Series West in the number 36 car, he's from Stafford Smith of Eagle, Idaho. This weekend, he's piloting the number 38 car for the Patriot Motorsports Group. John Wood, also of Eagle, Idaho, will drive the number 36 car. Iwuji is also the owner of the number 34 car this weekend, but he has sponsorship from this Patriot Motorsports Group. So it's really great to see the cross-section of the NFL coming into the NASCAR here as well for the K&N Pro Series.
And that's where once people get involved in it and understand the marketability of it, you know, we've seen several NFL stars do this. Unfortunately, none of them have lasted, but they've all said the experience was great and what it provided for them. And, you know, with the crewmen, there's a lot of NFL people that come over and are crewmen. You know, the two can really work together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So any other drivers that you want to highlight before we move on to our race winner picks?
Well, we talked about Harrison Burton. I mean, Todd Gillen, obviously. I mean, he's been in he's the reigning Series West champion. He's got 6 wins, 11 top fives, and 13 top tens in 14 races in 2016. He's became the youngest champion in NASCAR Touring Series history at 16 years, 5 months, and joined his grandfather, Butch Gillen, as the K&N West champion. His grandfather did it in 1997. And he's one of only 2 drivers to finish in the top 10 in all 8 races this season, and is currently 2nd behind Harrison Burton with 5 top 5s and 8 top 10s through the 8 races. And he did pick up his first win on the east side at Michigan's Berlin Raceway, and he finished 2nd at New Hampshire last year after qualifying 7th. So, as always, those two are obviously going to be the top two to watch. I mean, it's been all about those two all year.
It really has been. So, I guess we're at that point where we should pick who we think's going to win this race this weekend.
All right, you're going to let me go first again?
I'm going to let you go first.
Okay. It's almost like with Dalton Sargeant. I'm going to try one more time. If he doesn't win, I'm going to quit picking him so he'll get a win. I'm going to go with Chase Purdy. With how he's been on these tracks and, again, starting right there up front with the pole or on the front row, he's got to eventually get that win. And I think New Hampshire would be a great place for it. So I'm going to pick Chase Purdy.
Okay. This track is the biggest track that these K&M Pro Series drivers race on all season long. I think that's going to make it a little more challenging for some of these drivers. I think I'm going to go, I'm going to pick somebody different, and I don't know why I'm doing this, because Harrison Burton and Todd Gilliland have been so good this season, you almost expect that one of them are going to win this weekend. But I'm going to pick Spencer Davis this weekend in the number 13 car to pick up the win in this camp, in this K&N Pro Series East. And that's just based on the fact that he's raced, I believe he's raced here before, and really working in his favor. I think this is if this is a track where the drivers never raced at before, it's going to be more challenging for them to win. So I'm going to lean toward a driver who's raced at this track before.
Well, and Spencer Davis is definitely one to lean on then, you know, with that experience, as you mentioned. And, again, I would love to see it. Harrison Burton having run in some of the other series, I think, might have that advantage since he has run on different tracks. But I think Spencer Davis could be a surprise one anyway if it were to happen.
Yeah, I know. It's a surprise even to me that I'm picking him. But I do think that he could have a breakout win this weekend and be one of those drivers that can kind of break up that Harrison Burton, Todd Gilliland thing that's been going on this season. But I'd love to see Harrison Burton continue to lead the way here in the K&N Pro Series East.
Well, I think that'll happen. And again, we don't know. I haven't seen anything or any kind of indication. You mentioned that Todd Gilliland has to choose once they hit Iowa of which side, the west or the east, he's going to take the points in. And I know you said you think he's going to take the west since he's leading the points there, and it's not by much.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the standings for them. I kind of had a thought the other way. Okay, well, you're pulling that up. I'll explain what my thought process. If he's leading in the west, but he's behind on the east, that he might run the east side to try and make up points. But, again, that west side, that gap is so small, you know he's going to give it up.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one to give up, because he's competing with a lot of his teammates out there in the west. Todd Gilliland is 354 points. Followed by Chris Adelson, again, his BMR teammate at Bill McAnally Racing, at 343 points. So that's, what, 11 points difference. Derek Krause, another teammate at Bill McAnally Racing, at 298, is in third. That's going to be tough for him to say that he's not racing for points in that K&N West, I think, out there at Iowa. He wants to keep that series points lead, and it seems to me it would just open the door for his teammate to take over that points lead out there. But you never know, you know. It'd go either way, I guess.
Well, and I think that 11-point difference has been the biggest it's been all season.
Yeah, but it could dwindle down real quick if he's not getting points in that race for the West. It would put him back. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting
scenario
to see which way he goes. Yep.
Yeah, interesting scenario for Todd Gilliland, for fans to keep their eyes on. We need to go ahead and move on here to the Xfinity Series, also racing out at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in the Overton 200. They're racing Saturday, July the 15th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. NBC Sports Network will start their coverage at 3:30, along with PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They are racing a total distance of 211.6 miles, over 200 laps. These are 45-lap stages, with the first stage ending on lap 45 and the second stage ending on lap 90. The final stage will end on that last lap of 200. This has been one of the more interesting Xfinity Series years for me with the stage racing. And I see that continuing as we continue through this series. NHMS, New Hampshire Motor Speedway six-pack, they have a series record of 5 consecutive wins from the pole. So a lot of people are wondering, will the pole winner become the winner at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in this Xfinity Series this weekend?
Now, it's certainly possible. The streak of wins from the pole at New Hampshire began in 2012 when Brad Keselowski pulled into victory lane after leading 131 of the 200 laps. In the next four series races at New Hampshire followed suit. Kyle Busch won from the pole after leading 141 in 2013. Brad Keselowski won again from the pole in 2014, leading 152 laps. And the third driver to win from the pole was Denny Hamlin after leading 145 of the 200 laps in 2015. But it was Kyle Busch's dominant win last season from the Coors Light pole, leading 190 of the 200 laps. That's 95%. And that set the new series record of 5 consecutive wins from the pole at one track.
That's amazing.
The previous record for consecutive Xfinity Series wins from the pole at one track was 4, which was held by Rockingham Speedway from 1982 to 1984. But David Pearson in 82, Dale Earnhardt in 83, Sam Hart in March of 84, and Jeffrey Bodine in October of 84. And two of three drivers have contributed to the current streak that we talked about. The series leader in poles with 4 at New Hampshire is Brad Keselowski, and he'll be in the number 22 Team Penske Ford. And then the series wins leader at New Hampshire with 5 is Kyle Busch, and he'll be in the number 18 Joe Gibbs Racing Toyota.
Okay, so that's going to be fun to watch to see if they can make that happen this weekend. Winning from the pole is not an easy thing to do at a track like New Hampshire, but we'll see if these guys can make it happen. Now, again, just like all of the other series, there's 10 races that they're counting down now in the Xfinity Series for their regular season. 3 drivers have secured their place in the playoffs with victories. William Byron has 2, Justin Allgaier has 1, and Ryan Reed has 1 victory. So those 3 drivers are all in the playoffs based on the fact that they've won this season. The top 12 drivers are the drivers that will compete in that top 12 of those series points rankings. Now, in 4th place on the outside looking in without a win is Elliott Sadler, followed by Daniel Hemric in 5th, Brendan Poole in 6th, Cole Custer 7th, Matt Tift is 8th, Dakota Armstrong is 9th, Michael Annette is in 10th, Darrell Wallace Jr. is 11th, and Blake Koch is 12th in those series point standings. Blake Koch is 22 points above the cutoff line. Brendan Gaughan is 22 points below that cutoff line. So those drivers are going to be rallying to see which of them are going to be in the top 12. Because obviously with 10 races left and 9 places left on the roster here for the playoffs, it seems that it's not likely we're going to get 9 different winners in these next 10 races.
It's worth noting that in you mentioned in 11th place currently is Darrell Wallace Jr., and he is currently not entered in this weekend's event. So Brandon Gaughan currently 13th and 22 points behind. Expect him. He should move up into that playoff spot, and he's made 5 series starts at New Hampshire with 2 top tens and an average finish of 13.4. So it's obviously sad at the fact that Darrell Wallace isn't racing, but that gives Brandon Gaughan kind of a cushion, the fact that he knows there's a driver up there above him that's going to drop.
Yeah, this gives fans an idea of just how tough getting sponsorship is these days. Here's a driver who is currently in position to be in the playoffs for this series and doesn't have a ride, which is very, very sad. And I'm hoping that something comes up for Darrell Wallace Jr. Maybe not in time for New Hampshire, but hopefully sometime soon so that he can continue to compete in this series. Now there's 4 rookies that have the playoffs in their sight, and we've talked a little bit about them. I'll let you kind of start with William Byron, then we'll go on to Daniel Hemric, Cole Custer, and Matt Tipp.
All right. Leading that quartet of 2017 rookie contenders currently in the playoffs or in contention is junior motorcycle driver William Byron, 19-year-old from Charlotte, North Carolina. He's starting to look like the prodigy that car owner Rick Hendrick professed he would be at the season-opening car owner press conferences when he signed him back at Daytona. He's posted 2 wins now at Iowa and Daytona, 5 top fives, 10 top tens, and an average finish of 10.4 in the 16 starts this season. And on top of all that, he leads the series in playoff points now with 11 and would currently be the number one seed going into the playoffs.
Yeah, what William Byron has been able to accomplish at such a young age and in such a short span of time is truly remarkable. But Daniel Hemric is doing well as well. Richard Childress Racing's Daniel Hemric doesn't have a win yet this season, but he's comfortably he's pretty comfortable in the point standings at 13th. He's 118 points in the driver standings and most likely will make the playoffs this year. He's a 26-year-old from Kannapolis, North Carolina, and he's been improving ever since the first drop of the green flag. In 16 starts, he's posted a pole, 2 top fives, 6 top tens, and he has an average finish of 16.1. That doesn't sound that great, but when you take into consideration that he continues to show improvement week after week, I think we're going to see more from Daniel Hemric before it's all said and done.
Another one that I know is a favorite of yours and you've been keeping your eye on is Cole Custer at Stuart Haas Racing. He's currently 90 points ahead of that 13th place driver in the standings, so he's got a good shot to make the playoffs with only 10 to go. He's been scaling the driver standings over the last 8 races, climbing from 12th all the way up to now 6th. In the 16 starts this season, another 19-year-old from Ladera Ranch, California, has posted 2 top fives, 6 top tens, and an average finish of 17.2.
Yeah, and again, that doesn't sound that great, but when you consider his most recent performance and what he's been able to do climbing from 12th to 6th in the series point standings, bad start, but continuously improving. Another driver, Matt Tift from Joe Gibbs Racing is the last rookie who's currently in position to make the playoffs for the Xfinity Series. He's 79 points ahead of 13th place in the driver standings after Kentucky. He's a 21-year-old from Hinckley, Ohio, and he's posted 4 top tens and an average finish of 16 this season. So definitely 4 rookies to keep your eyes on this year. as we wind down to the playoffs for this Xfinity Series. You got to think William Byron is the top guy here to your eye on.
And one thing, you're talking about the average finish there, those three being a little high, like you said, at 15, 16, 17. Keeping in mind that on a weekly basis, there is normally five or six cup drivers that are dropping down and running in that series. So that affects that. You look at they're in the top 12 in points, you know, but their average finish is 16th. So there's the difference. They're 12th, 10th, 11th, 12th amongst the regular Xfinity drivers, but their average finish might be a little higher because of those cup drivers when they come in filling up some of those front positions.
Right.
So
that's a good point. Okay. Moving right along here. The Overton's 200 this Saturday will be the 31st time that the Xfinity Series has competed in the state of New Hampshire, all at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And we talked about the history of that track for the K&N Pro Series. The very first Xfinity Series race held at New Hampshire was in July 15, 1990. That event was run by Tommy Ellis in, get this, a Buick, after leading all my 89 laps. So, you know, with talk of a new manufacturer coming into this. Years ago, we had several different manufacturers, and in this case, it was a Buick. There's been a total of 18 different drivers who have won the Coors Light Pole Award at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. Brad Keselowski leads the way with four poles at that track. There's also 25 different drivers who've won the Xfinity Series race there, led by Kyle Busch, who has five victories. Kyle holds both the series qualifying record at 131.916 miles per hour. He did that on July 13th. That's today, but we're talking 4 years ago in 2013. And he also holds the race record at 111.925 miles per hour. That was done in June 27th of 2009. At New Hampshire Motor Speedway. 15 drivers have made at least one start in the International Series event and have called New Hampshire their home state. Of 15 New Hampshire drivers, 11 have made at least one start in the Xfinity Series, led by Jamie Aubey with 43 series starts. Aubey is the only driver from New Hampshire to win a national NASCAR National Series race. Aubey from Bow, New Hampshire, won Oxford Plains Speedway on July 12, 1987, and he did that in an Oldsmobile. Right now, there are no active drivers from the state of New Hampshire competing this weekend. And let me just say, it's not very often that we say that. There's usually a hometown state or home state driver racing at every track we go to.
That's right. I was thinking there was one, but I think Joey Logano is Connecticut and Martin Truex is New Jersey. I know they both call that their home track, but it's just because that was the closest.
Right.
Well, you mentioned in all that, there were, I think, three I counted records at New Hampshire that Kyle Busch holds. Well, he's attempting to record his 175th NASCAR National Series victory with 38 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, 88 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series, and 48 in the Camping World Truck Series. And that puts him second most all-time between Richard Petty's 200. So he'll be looking to add to that. He's setting some impressive records all across the board.
He certainly is. And I don't think there's going to be any stopping him. I think he has his sights on trying to take over that Richard Petty milestone, which in some senses, although you can, if he's able to do that, you got to be happy for anybody that's able to beat that feat. But at the same time, it would be sad to see Richard Petty's name not at the top of that record, because we've seen his name there for so long, and it'll certainly be a paradigm shift for a lot of people.
Well, they say records are made to be broken.
That's right. The double duty drivers this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway include Kyle Busch, as we've mentioned before. Brad Keselowski, Reed Sorensen is racing this weekend, along with Ty Gillen and Kyle Larson. There's going to be some top drivers racing this weekend with the Xfinity Series drivers on Saturday. Who's your race winner pick?
You know, on this one, I'm gonna have to stick with one of those favorites, and that would be a toss up there between Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski. I'm gonna go with Kyle Busch. I think he adds to that total. I see Kyle Busch doing it.
Okay, in that case, I'll take Brad Keselowski. I'll take Brad Keselowski for my race winner pick this weekend. We'll see if he's able to pull it off with Kyle Busch. Both drivers would like to see a breakthrough there with a victory again here in the Xfinity Series. For him to get his 175th win would be a huge milestone for Kyle Busch. Okay, let's move on now to our Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. They are racing at New Hampshire Motor Speedway in the Overton's 301 on Sunday, July the 16th. They will start their race sometime around 3 p.m. Eastern Time. NBC Sports Network will start their coverage at 2:30, along with PRN and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. They are racing 318.46 miles over those 301 laps. And the increments here are 75 lap stages. So stage one will end on lap 75, stage two on lap 150, with the final stage ending on lap 301 in the Overton's 300 on Sunday afternoon. A lot of great things. I really loved seeing Martin Truex Jr. dominate so much last weekend at Kentucky Speedway. But I'm fearful that Martin Truex Jr. winning all of the time. Him and Jimmy Johnson are the only drivers with three victories apiece. I'm fearful that people are going to get tired of it and start hating him. I hope not, because I think he's certainly worthy of contending for this championship this year.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't even know if using the word dominant is the right word, but he had two stages. He had the two stage wins and victory at Kentucky, and increased his playoff point total now to 28. 12 points is he's 12 points better than the next competitor, which happens to be Jimmy Johnson. And he'll attempt to earn his second consecutive win in Sunday's Overton's 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. 22 starts at the Magic Mile. Truex has no wins, but three top fives, eight top tens, and a 13.7 average finish. And statistically, he's been the most dominant driver in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series this season. In addition to being tied for the wins lead, he ranks first in average running position of 8.3, the fastest laps, of 626. He's led 1,115 laps led, which is 21.4% of the laps, and has a driver rating of 105.9.
Yeah, it's really great to see Martin Truex Jr. doing so well. And by the way, he's just 1 point now behind Kyle Larson, the series points leader. You got to watch this race this on Sunday to find out who ends up on top after New Hampshire between these two with 1 point difference. Either Kyle Larson is going to extend his lead, or and this is,
Sharon?
As you mentioned, a track that he calls his home track. Yeah.
Kyle Larson.
Hello?
Just took that 35-point hit, so he is actually now up 34 points over Kyle Larson with that points penalty.
Yeah, thank you very much. I had forgotten about that. So, yeah, that is right. So Truex now leads the series point standings.
Maybe I shouldn't have brought it up. Maybe NASCAR forgot too, and they'll let him be back up there.
I don't think so. I don't think so. But thank you for bringing that up. Let's talk about Joe Gibbs Racing, though, because I think it's just remarkable after the year that they had last season that they still are winless.
We do every week. It's like, how can we still have to bring this up? Yeah, they're still searching for that first win. Let's see, what is it? 1 year after winning the Monster Energy Cup Series, high 12 races last year. They have yet to have a driver visit victory lane this season. And based on history, there's a strong chance that win comes this weekend, this Sunday, in the Overton 301 at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. You got Matt Kenseth is the defending race winner. In 34 starts at the 1.058-mile track, he boasts 3 victories, 10 top fives, 19 top tens, and a 12.0 average finish, which is fourth in the series.
And Kyle Busch has 2 wins at the track. He has 9 top fives, 13 top tens. His average finish is at 13.8. In 24 starts at New Hampshire, he has a 91.1 driver rating, ranking him 4th best at New Hampshire. So that's something to keep in mind on Sunday.
And then the third one they got there that's from Joe Gibbs Racing that's visited Victory Lane is Denny Hamlin. In 22 starts there, he's got 2 victories, 8 top fives, 13 top tens, and a 10.4 average finish, which is second in the series, and boasts a top driver rating of 102.7 and the second best average running position at 11.1.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Daniel Suarez, the rookie of this group, rounds out the effort for Joe Gibbs Racing. On Sunday, he's making his Cup Series track debut at New Hampshire. He finished in the top 5 in his 2 Xfinity Series starts there. But JGR has won 3 of the last 4 races at New Hampshire, with Kenseth in the fall of 2015, in the spring of 2016, and with Busch in the spring of 2015. So if there's a track where Joe Gibbs Racing can kind of turn the ship around, New Hampshire seems like the track that could happen. And I want to just mention here, Jay, you put out a piece at fanforacing.com giving your playoff predictions in the Monster Energy Cup Series. And I want to encourage readers to go over there and take a look at it because again, they're counting down and the pressure is really building for these guys. And I think especially for a driver like Matt Kenseth, New Hampshire has a lot of pressure on him, because he's the defending winner there. He's done really well at this track. And he's out at Joe Gibbs Racing for next season. So he's looking for a ride.
Yeah. And again, like you mentioned, maybe after this weekend, we'll take this section of talking about Joe Gibbs not winning out and have to fill it with something else. Cause I think this certainly could be a track where that comes to an end.
Okay, yeah, exactly. And the way for it to come to an end is for one of those drivers to win. Another driver that everybody's got their eyes on here in the Cup Series is Kyle Larson. We talked about him clinging on to the points lead, but with the penalty and the loss of those points, he no longer has that point standings lead. He notched a career-best 6th runner-up finish of the season But it's really amazing that Kyle Larson is going to be struggling to come from behind again. He's competing in his fourth full-time season. He's proved that he's a bona fide championship contender. Through 18 races, he has 2 wins, 8 top fives, 11 top tens, and a series best average finish of, get this, 9.8. His 13 playoff points are tied for third most in the Monster Energy Cup Series, but I don't know if that's been impacted, if it's just regular season points that he's losing or if he's losing those playoff points as well.
I believe it's just for the regular season points. As far as I know,
okay,
they haven't touched playoff points unless it's the encumbered win, then it's not allowed.
Okay. Well, in 6 starts at New Hampshire, Larson has 2 top fives, 3 top tens, and a 13.3 average finish. His best finish was 2nd in the fall of 2014. So with the loss of those points, I without a doubt feel that Kyle Larson's going to be a man on a mission at New Hampshire to make up those points and try to regain that series points lead.
Well, and it will have playoff points implications because, again, at the end of the 26 races, the regular season, first place gets 15,
yep,
and second place gets 10, and he is already behind. As we mentioned, Truex has the most playoff points at 28, and Jimmy Johnson in second at 15. Kyle Larson at this point only has 13, so he needs those extra 5 or more to pick up a gain there. So it definitely hurts him.
And it definitely illustrates just how important these stage wins are. And I'm sure these teams are crunching those numbers on exactly what they need to do to make up some points this weekend. And what I love about it is it means that they've got to be racing up front all 3 stages in order to kind of make up what he's lost here.
That's right. Now, we've been talking about favorites, the guys that are up front. There's one that's kind of been lurking in the grass, quietly consistent, but Chase Elliott's still eyeing that first win. Most expected Chase Elliott to get his first win by now, either through his rookie season, he had a couple of chances, but it hasn't happened yet. The 21-year-old Chevy driver has quietly secured 5 top 8 finishes in his last 6 starts. And that elusive victory should come soon for Elliott. He ranks 5th in the Monster Energy point standings and has 2 playoff wins via stage wins so far this season. And he's coming off a 3rd place finish at Kentucky, but he's looking for victory lane at New Hampshire. He finished 34th there in the July race last year and 13th in September.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. A lot of us thought Chase Elliott might be able to pull off a victory. I'm still impressed with what Chase Elliott is doing in the Cup Series this season. And if he can pull it off at New Hampshire this weekend, it would be a big, big victory in a lot of ways. Not just the fact that it would be his first victory in the Cup Series, but to make it into the playoffs as one of the rookies would be a big, big deal for Chase Elliott. Now we're at the halfway point. There's only 8 races left for drivers to earn their postseason berths in the playoffs. And the first half has featured first-time winners. There's been parity, some of those familiar faces, and the enhanced racing format has definitely elevated the competition at these tracks. The 8 races remaining for drivers to earn berths in the playoffs include New Hampshire, Indianapolis, Pocono, Watkins Glen, Michigan, Bristol, Darlington, and Richmond is the last race of the regular season. Now, these drivers would get in if the season ended today. Martin Truex Jr. with 3 wins and 28 playoff points. Jimmy Johnson with 3 wins, 16 playoff points. Of course, Martin Truex gets the advantage there because he has more playoff points. Kyle Larson has 2 victories, 13 points. Brad Keselowski, 2 wins, 13 points. So those two are pretty much identical. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. with 2 wins and 10 playoff points. Kevin Harvick, 1 win for 8 playoff points. Ryan Blaney, 1 win with 8 playoff points. Again, there's some identical results there. Kurt Busch has 1 win and 5 points, as does Ryan Newman. Austin Dillon, 1 and 5. So that's 3 drivers with that stat. Kyle Busch, 138 points above Joey Logano on the cutoff line, has 4 playoff points. Elliott is 89 points out with 2 playoff points. Jamie McMurray, 74 points, I should say to the good. And Denny Hamlin, 67 points to the good with 2 playoff points. Clint Bowyer, 24 points to the good. And Matt Kenseth, only 7 points to the good with 2 playoff points. Matt Kenseth has got to hope he can come home with a victory this weekend.
Yeah, and that would the 4 that would be left out there would be Joey Logano, who's now 7 points below Matt Kenseth on that cutoff line. Eric Jones at minus 52. Daniel Suarez is 98 back, and Trevor Bayne is 119 back. And remember, a win automatically gets that driver into the playoffs. So, you know, there's a couple of them that are might be able to battle in on points. Well, okay, go ahead.
I was saying, Joey Logano, although he has a win, he's not in yet. He still needs another win because NASCAR encumbered that win due to the post-race infraction.
That's right. So that win doesn't count. And if you read the article, as you mentioned, the article I wrote talked about that, of where these guys' chances are and whatnot. You know, Logano's not had the same season that he was having up to that win. You know, I would have thought he would have continued that, but something's gone a little awry there. But you can look at that and see my take on where I project each driver and what their chances are of getting in now with just the 8 races remaining.
Exactly. Now, the 8 tracks that are left, we're going to kind of go over here the drivers that have won at these tracks. We've been talking about New Hampshire. Of course, that's Kyle Busch, Matt Kenseth, Clint Bowyer, Hamlin, and Casey Kane. It would be amazing if Casey Kane could pull off a win here. That would be a big deal for him. At Indianapolis, the next track on the schedule, Kyle Busch has won there, McMurray, and Paul Menard. Why don't you take the next 2, Jay?
All right. The next one up is Pocono, and Hamlin, Kenseth, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Casey Kane again, and Chris Buescher have wins there. Watkins Glen, that would include Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and A.J. Allmendinger.
Okay. Now, these next 4 tracks have so much repetition, I'm just going to go ahead and take the next 4 tracks, which are Michigan, Bristol, Darlington, and Richmond. Kyle Busch has won at all 4 of those tracks, as has Hamlin. Kenseth has won at 3 of those tracks. The only track he hasn't won at is Michigan. Earnhardt has won at both Michigan and Bristol, as well as Richmond. Bowyer has won at Richmond, but not any of the other tracks. Kenseth has won at Michigan. And Kane has won at 3 of those tracks. The only track he has not won at between Michigan, Bristol, and Richmond is Darlington. Again, it's going to be interesting to see if any of those drivers can come up with a victory, because a lot of these drivers are drivers that have not won yet this season.
And again, we talk about the whole Joe Gibbs thing eventually having to come to an end. All three of the drivers, with the exception of Daniel Suarez, have won on 6, 7, or 8 of those tracks remaining. So I think it's going to come to an end, and it could be that each one of them still gets a win yet this year, and then this whole story will be long forgotten.
It'll be in the rear-view mirror. Exciting to hear that Eric Almirola is coming back this weekend.
Yes, I saw that he did his test on Wednesday and got approved, and they announced that he was coming back along with his paint job, the throwback paint job for Darlington, which was amazing. But he's coming back just 2 months after injuring his back at the incident with after an incident at Kansas Speedway, coming back in to pilot the number 43 for Richard Petty Motorsports. He was cleared again to race again after a private session Tuesday at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and then he obtained his clearance to return to competition from medical personnel and NASCAR officials. In the 11 starts he had this season, he had two top fives, three top tens, and an average finish of 17.3. And I know he's super excited to be back. I got a quote here from him. It says, "It felt great to be back in the race car yesterday," Almirola said. "After racing in the Monster Energy Series for 5.5 years, it got to be routine and I took it for granted. When something gets taken away from you at a
Yeah.
moment's notice like that, it certainly made me appreciate my passion for racing and the desire to compete at this level. The thrill of running 200 miles per hour in a stock car was something I had honestly lost a little bit. After being out of the car for 8 weeks, that passion is back now more than ever." So look for him to be on a mission as well, like you said.
Absolutely. And it's amazing how sometimes that's exactly what it takes. Who's your race winner pick for this weekend? I'm just going to go
I'm
right
gonna,
to that.
yeah, I'm gonna get on that Joe Gibbs bus. I'm gonna go with Kyle Busch. I see him. I picked him in the Xfinity. I'm gonna pick him in the Cup. I think he does the double header here.
Okay. I am going to pick, let me look here. Which finish 9.8. I'm kind of between picking Joey Logano or Kyle Larson. I think I'm going to go with Larson to come back and get a win. He's very competitive. He's lost the series points lead. I see him trying to do everything he possibly can to make that up this weekend at New Hampshire. And I think Kyle Larson just might do what Martin Truex Jr. did last week. But we'll have to wait and see what happens.
That's certainly possible. Like you said, he's gonna be driven. He's gonna be motivated. So that's certainly a good possibility.
Okay, so tune in for this Overton 301 on Sunday afternoon. Now, I want to get into the penalty report. I know we're winding down on time here. We referenced it a little bit earlier, but in the Xfinity series, we'll start with that and then we'll go to the Cup Series. The number one car of Elliott Sadler, post-race inspection infraction. The tires and wheels, lug nuts, were not properly installed. That means that crew chief Thomas Matchuk has been fined $10,000. He's suspended from the next NASCAR Xfinity Series Championship points race. So he will not be the crew chief for that number one car this weekend at New Hampshire. So just something to be aware of, especially in the Xfinity series. And going back to what we were talking about in the Cup Series, with the number 42 car of Kyle Larson, again, he had a post-race inspection infraction. The rear brake cooling system was a problem. The race finish is encumbered for Kyle Larson per Section 12. Ductwork or other devices are not allowed to pass from one area of the interior of the vehicle to another or to the outside of the vehicle. So apparently that happened last week, and crew chief Chad Johnson for the number 42 team was fined dollars. He's suspended for three Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series races, and the team has been assessed with a loss of 35 owner points and 35 driver points. So NASCAR saw this as a pretty serious infraction.
Yeah, and that's see a lot of the social media stuff. You know, they talked about how Kyle Larson came from the back and passed, I want to say 90 cars, I think is what they finally totaled. And they questioned whether or not that was due to what he had on the car. I'm not one that buys into that. I'm not saying what they did was right. And, you know, if that's the penalty NASCAR sets forth, I fully support that. But I don't think that one thing alone, you know, he's been dominant all season, you know, running up front, picked up a couple wins. So I don't like when something like that happens and they say, oh, that's why he's won all season, or, you know, and Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus have gone through this. I get so frustrated with that. You know, yeah, they pushed that envelope, did something they weren't supposed to. They'll pay the penalty. But don't hold that against them for the whole year or even, you know, their whole career. You know, I've heard people say Jimmy shouldn't have any of his championships. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you, the proof is going to be in the pudding, because that's one of the reasons why I think Kyle Larson is still going to run well this weekend. Even though he's not going to have his crew chief, and even though he had this serious infraction that took place after Kentucky, I think he's going to be a man on a mission to prove that he has a good race car and that he's able to be up there contending. Now, there was another penalty for the number 18 car. That was with Kyle Busch. And they had tires and wheels, another post-race inspection infraction for tire and wheels. Lug nuts were not properly installed. I think I heard it was just one lug nut. But what they did is they just fined the crew chief Adam Stevens $10,000 in that particular case. But just something to be aware of there.
That's right. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, the one lug nut missing is just a fine. So, yeah, they don't lose Adam Stevens again.
Right. And so, again, you know, we have to see what happens this weekend at New Hampshire Motor Speedway and see if and Kyle Busch very well may come up with a victory this weekend. And, again, that would be a big deal for him. We're a little bit of overtime here. We've got a little time that we can still record here. Were there any other top stories that you wanted to make sure we talked about tonight, Jay?
Well, we kind of touched on the Matt Kenseth, you know, making the announcement that he wasn't coming back, and then they officially announced that Eric Jones was. I don't think that should come as a surprise to anybody. You know, but I posted something on Facebook. The silly season is at full speed now, because there has been all kinds of stuff, and I can't even begin to sort through what's true and whatnot. But I think you're going to start seeing, as they say, some of these dominoes are going to start falling. You know, where Matt Kenseth ends up. If last week we talked about Danica might be out of her ride, if that's true, and if so, you know, who goes into that car? And there's so many of them, you know. But silly season, it's full speed ahead at this point.
And that is so true. And it almost has to take place now, which is why I think Matt Kenseth was kind of pressing the issue, because they've got to get next year's plans in place from a marketing perspective, from a car perspective. All of that has to be in place soon, because a lot of these teams are already preparing for their 2018 season. And those without a ride right now are going to be a little bit behind the eight ball, if you will, with not having plans in place. So the sooner they can get those plans in place, the better off they will be for this upcoming season.
And a second part to that goes back to the article you posted for me on Thursday, I believe, that came out. I strictly stuck to Dodge if they were to return and where they would fit in with a possible team. But again, I'm hearing now there's more than one option out there that NASCAR said they are talking to. So that, too, is a manufacturer silly season, if you will. also comes into play this year, which, you know,
Absolutely.
we've never had before.
Again, yeah, that's a big part of the silly season questions that are all up in the air right now. And slowly and surely, we will start getting a lot of those questions answered. But it sure makes you scratch your head in some of these cases with what's going on during the silly season, as it does every year when silly season comes around. But I think it's going to be fun to see how it all plays out. And NASCAR is certainly not sitting on their laurels. A lot of things are happening. Earlier today as well, they announced that Brett Dewar has been promoted to president of NASCAR effective immediately. He joined NASCAR as the chief operating officer in 2014 and now becomes only the fourth person in the sport's history to hold the title of president of NASCAR. So that was kind of big news earlier today as well. And that information is all available over at NASCAR.com as well.
And that's what I like to see. Like you said, they're not standing still and doing status quo. I know some of the media representatives from different organizations have talked about, you know, they need to take a break. You know, this year we had the stage racing changes and whatnot, that they need to go a year or two without changing. But if it's something that's making the sport better and improving, whether it be the track, the on-track action, or the sport as a whole, I am all for it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with that, I think we're pretty much winding down here. What do you think, Jay?
Well, before we go, I don't think he's on anymore, but I did want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine, first-time listener tonight. Listen, for I think he's got in there for an hour. He's been trying to listen to the show for a couple weeks. So, Dan Shell, appreciate you listening. Hopefully you'll tune in again next week.
Okay. Yes, thanks for listening. We appreciate all of our listeners here on Fan for Racing Radio. And we will be back again on Monday. I hope we're able to get the winner of the Can-Am Pro Series from this week at New Hampshire Motor Speedway. And perhaps even, I don't know, we'll try. If we don't get that person, maybe we can get the winner of the Camping World Truck Series race at Eldora. And I just want to remind everybody that's happening Wednesday. Now, we will be back on air Monday night for NASCAR and Race Talk, where we do try to get the weekend winners on the show. And Sal and I do a review of the weekend of racing. And then next Thursday night, Jay and I will be back here for NASCAR weekend preview of the upcoming weekend of racing starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So with that, Jay, I think we're ready to call it a wrap unless there's anything more that you want to mention.
No, just be prepared for an awesome weekend of racing there in New Hampshire, and I will talk to you again next Thursday.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side. Everybody, enjoy your weekend of racing and stay safe, and thanks so much for listening. Take care now.